Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
All right, speaking of action, a call to action, did everyone hear the trumpet? Did you guys hear the trumpet sound? I heard a couple people thinking or asking, does that mean we go? Is it time to go? But I just love the heart sending us into tonight of readiness, because we have been under so much preparation that now Yahweh says it's time to move. So that call means get ready, let's go. And tonight, the truth, that can be said for the word as well, right?
Yep.
That we're prepared, we're ready, let's go. Okay, so I want to remind us of a couple things from last week. Our Torah portion in the middle of our dwelling and of our tabernacles, there were some steps that were taken or some things that Yahweh spoke and that were released through Mom and Dad last Friday that I would consider to be our last steps in our preparation. If we're stepping into the portion where we move, then we could look at last week's teaching essentially as the last thing we need to hear before we begin.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of like we've been prepared, we've been made ready, but he's like, I got one more thing to say.
Yeah.
So I want to go back. All week, I felt like I want to go back to make sure that I'm fully prepared. What could it be that I am missing? And so out of that, this is what I wanted to release over us as we get ready to sit under this word. All right. So the last steps in our preparation before we move, he was speaking to light, reminding us to keep the menorahs lit and ensure that everything in front of it is illuminated. Also, with light, Yahweh spoke to a pattern that the menorah needed to be built in, right? That it was done or built just as Yahweh instructed.
Yeah.
And Mom was speaking to that pattern that we are built in and that we have to also become familiar with his pattern, because there are things that are to come that we must know what his heart is for it to be executed.
Yep.
All right. The light also was preparing us as far as seeing and knowing what you're eating, as well as the significance of, like I had said, becoming familiar with the patterns that he gives us.
Yeah.
Okay. So light was addressed as far as preparation goes, and then dedication or vows. So he dedicates the Levites, meaning he fully equipped or sent us into movement through the dedication of our priesthood. He also spoke to second chances. Does everybody remember the distinction that was made with second chances or the window that was spoken to before we stepped into tabernacles?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So the Passover, the second month instead of just the first, was the grace that they were given.
Yeah.
But what was kind of the stipulation, I guess, of that grace? Who received that grace? Yes. So what we could take from that as we get ready to move is that the mindset that would get you cut off as you move is that he will not give grace for your lack of intention.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, it was. And after that distinction was made, what's so powerful is then he started speaking to what it would look like to follow, which would be the cloud.
Yeah.
Right? So the cloud representing his presence, only move when he moves. Those are things that we think that we know.
Yeah.
But we have seen in history what it looks like to be made ready, to be prepared, for the light to be made known, for a second chance to be given. And then as he moves, what happens to the people? Right? So we're taking that seriously, that you can follow his presence and still not be fully his.
Yes.
That was the speaking to of the stranger who was still amongst the people that were following, right?
Yep.
Okay. Finally, our word of preparation as we got ready to move ended with, what more do you need?
Yep.
All of this preparation, think back to all of the preparation that's been made.
Yeah.
Okay? His rescue, the revelation of his character, the impartation of your identity,
yeah.
Light, dedication, the promise of his direction, and continuous presence, both with the cloud and the tabernacle itself.
Yeah.
So the question would be, with all of that preparation, will we allow this to be enough? All of that work, will we allow it to be enough and lay down our questioning and our demand for further proof? While we move, we get to choose whether we're going to learn from history or repeat it.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
So this portion is extremely important because it's the beginning of our movement, and he's already prepared us and sent us in to move, but every step we know there's a potential to step out of alignment.
Yeah.
Therefore, ending up in a repeat of history. So we're here, we're present, we're ready to move,
yes.
And come under what it
yes.
looks like to stay together as we do so. Okay?
Okay. Everybody feeling good from Tabernacles? Who saw my message before getting here today?
I did.
I appreciate that review, Megan, of kind of where we've been recently. And that's where I wanted to start, kind of where we've been. And this Torah portion, specifically, I'm not really going to reference the literal dynamics that are listed out in the Torah portion too much. But what I am going to do is just almost like speaking over the family in a way of what we should be getting from this Torah portion and what we should understand about it. And also recognizing that this Torah portion is going to kind of give us more of a clear view of where we are corporately, where we're at as individuals. As I'm going through this, you should be able to pinpoint, okay, that's exactly where I'm at in the grand scheme of everything. And also kind of push the family to a place that I think we should be. Okay? It's interesting in this Torah portion because Yahweh as the Father is, he has prepared his people by providing everything they need. When Megan says, or when the question was asked, what else do we need?
Yeah.
Or when is it going to be enough?
Yeah.
The dynamic behind that is that we have everything we need. So if we continue to question or press that we need more, then we're immediately out of alignment, we're out of order. And there's certain paradigms or thought processes or questions or conversations that are, to me, quickly becoming obsolete. There's conversations that we could have had with somebody last week that tonight is now obsolete. It's outdated.
Yep.
It shouldn't be used anymore. Yep. It shouldn't be produced anymore.
Yep.
There are certain mindsets that are just obsolete.
Yeah.
They're outdated because they don't reconcile with the provision that Yahweh's given us.
Yeah.
Those certain conversations of, I need this proof, or I need you to show me this evidence, or I need you to do this, right? Out of a place of being the husband, those type of thought processes or those conversations requesting or requiring more discipleship when you haven't even pressed through the last thing you were discipled, that entire paradigm is obsolete right now. Okay, because one thing Yahweh is doing in this Torah portion, and we are actively in the word because it's alive and because we're being read. One thing he's doing in this Torah portion is he is setting us in a place in the wilderness to assess our strength and capacity as a covenant community. Our strength and our capability is what's being pressed. Okay, so with the nature of your strength or your capacity or your capability being pressed, there's going to be tension to where you get exhausted or you get tired or you don't want to do it because it's difficult.
Yeah.
Right? But we cannot resort to the obsolete ways of thinking where we default to this is difficult, so I'm going to resort to being the husband, demanding more of him when he's already provided everything. And as a literal father of the house, right, mom made the comment like we don't want to raise pansies. What we want to do is raise a family that is strong together. I'm not talking about in and of your own strength or individual physical strength. I'm talking about covenant strength and covenant capability because we're moving based off of what we know he's provided.
Yeah.
Right? Which, when we're moving in that direction, there's less and less room for certain types of ways of thinking that come from lack of sonship, which produces I'm the husband. Okay? You can see how he's taking us through a progression. And what he's doing is he's slowly eliminating our illusion of our own strength. With a lack of sonship, you have this illusion that you buy into that I can just do it on my own. Right? I'm the husband. I have the position to judge. I have the authority to judge, to question him, to demand more of him. Right? Because I have this illusion of myself. That is what he is slowly dismissing, and it's becoming obsolete. It's outdated. Things are outdated when revelation comes. Automatically, certain things are outdated. It's not when Apple releases the new operating system at a certain point. I haven't updated my phone in I don't know how long because I just don't want to deal with it. At a certain point, my phone's going to stop working. Right? It's not even taking that long. Week by week, things are becoming obsolete.
Yeah.
Okay? Not only is he dismantling the illusion of our own strength, he's dealing with our selfish impulses. We are not a house of people that operate or are motivated by our own impulses. We are not impulsive. Any behavior or thought process that is originating with your own impulse or your own self-illusion is out of date, obsolete, almost to the point to where when they come up or if somebody approaches me and with that obsolete mindset, I'm just going to say, that's out of date.
Yeah.
That's outdated thinking.
Yeah.
We don't think like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because as a father, we're going to press greater strength and greater capability. I'm sure when my wife goes to the gym, there's certain weights that she just no longer uses anymore. Right? They've become obsolete.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Maybe she started out at the beginning of her journey with 2-pound weights, 5-pound weights, I don't know. Whatever it is, that's fine because you have to start somewhere, but at a certain point, you're never touching those weights again.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're outdated. You've matured beyond those things. Yahweh has equipped us and provided everything for us to mature beyond our own strength and beyond our own impulse. Okay? And I don't, this Torah portion fired me up because I can see and feel where we're going, and we cannot afford to keep using outdated paradigms or thinking or conversations or verbiage or whatever.
Okay.
We just cannot, we don't have that luxury. We don't. And if anybody wants that luxury, you can go somewhere else. And I say that not because I think anybody's there. I feel like The people that have been there with that warning of hitting the midpoint of the Torah portion have chosen, there are luxuries I'm not afforded here that I still want to hold on to. Okay?
Yeah. That was good, yeah.
So we have to understand that the ways that we've been read by the Torah portions has been nothing short of divinely ordained direction as we have followed him to go through Torah portions,
yeah.
And he is molding our family actively as if we were there.
Yeah.
Okay? So we have to understand that moving forward to tonight, and I wanted to remind us of some things like things that we've said before, like directional fortitude. What does that mean? That's kind of a phrase that I made up. So I don't know if, you know, I haven't looked up a definition, but to me, that means that you have the word gravitas comes to mind. You have the weight and the solidarity and the presence of mind, meaning the awareness of Yahweh, that you can continue moving in the direction he called you, despite whatever's in your way, whatever's thrown at you, whatever you're having to deal with, however much you're suffering, you're still going to move in the same direction that he called you to.
Yeah.
Tonight is going to give us a practical framework of what directional fortitude looks like.
Okay?
And it's going to come through the theme of greater connection being made and us understanding who we are as sons in a greater capacity, because as we also know, he's dealing with recently lack of sonship.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So we're going to understand to a greater degree directional fortitude. And to me, the expectation is that as we now have moved into this anointing of greater connection, that these things are now imprinted on our minds. And it's not a question anymore. It's not a question whether we have directional fortitude, or maybe somebody does in the house because they're stronger and I just haven't, you know, whatever. That's obsolete thinking. We don't think like that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we agree? Is everybody postured? Greater connection, directional fortitude. These connections are going to be made. And that is a shift that I want to declare over the family and just make it clear that there's no question that he is calling us to move into a place of greater maturity where we literally outgrow specific things concerning lack of sonship. Like he is raising us beyond the lack of sonship.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like we have to agree with that. Okay. The questions of what are we fighting and what are we following, you're going to see those questions clearly in this Torah portion. And I believe those questions, even leading up to this point, are the type of questions that will keep you in a place of directional fortitude, because you're constantly evaluating what is it that I'm resisting right now. What is it that I'm following right now? Am I following comfort and resisting the difficult thing?
Right.
Then I have it completely backwards and I have zero directional fortitude.
Yeah.
Just by answering those two questions.
Yeah.
Okay? Proverbs 24:6 says, "With wise advice you wage war, and in many counselors there is victory." Isn't that interesting? There's a lot behind this verse. There's a lot implied within this verse, but it's interesting that it's talking about waging war, and it has nothing to do with strength, individual strength. Right? It's talking about waging war with wisdom and a multitude of counselors, which means you're not doing it by yourself. Okay? As a historical note, as we look at this and just kind of take a step back and we look at what's happening in the Torah portion, I want us to understand that our ancestors have been liberated within the span of a year or two prior. They've been liberated, okay, from slavery and from Egypt. And so in that post-liberation, when you look through history, when people are liberated almost immediately, in order to preserve freedom, they establish a military. This is a pattern across history when nation states are brand new and they've been liberated from the control or the authority of another country or the bondage of another country, whatever the case may be. Post-liberation, almost immediately, militaries are established to preserve freedom, to project power, and also to establish a greater identity. It's a key factor to help establish identity. And this is no different. When we saw the nation of Israel gathering around the tabernacle, we see like history's first sacred, consecrated, divinely anointed military. Okay, we saw it with the census. The census was the organization and the formation of what is we're beginning to see Yahweh's military with his chosen people. Right? And it's not just fighting age males. Everybody has a role in this formation that we begin to see activated.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important to note that military structure across history, that this is a pattern, and that's what we're seeing here. Yahweh's reinforcing identity at this moment, and he's implementing something in order to preserve freedom. So if Yahweh is establishing identity and he's addressing a lack of sonship in us, if we're dealing with I'm the husband or we're dealing with the characteristics of lack of sonship, he's implementing something in us right now to preserve the freedom that you just gained.
Yeah. That's good.
Right? The Father knows what he's doing. He's the one raising us. He's the husband. We're not the husband. We're not the ones that are going to preserve freedom based out of our own strength and our own authority. It's not going to happen. Right? Immediately post-liberation. And it's, again, it's covenantal strength and capability. Okay, I don't want to say strength and denote individual. I'm going to do this on my own. Okay? So I want to give kind of a framework before we get into the actual scriptures, and that framework is concerning strategy and tactics. And this gets me really excited because Yahweh is a strategist and he's a tactician. Which normally we don't think of Yahweh like that, but here we have Yahweh instituting a military with his chosen people, and he's calling them into formation, right? He's calling them into divine formation, whereas before they were just a bunch of people moving around. Okay? Everything I'm saying, there should be like identity getting dropped in your spirit, that we don't just get together and just move around. We don't just move around haphazardly in this house. This is divine time that we're in right now, and he forms us in a certain manner in order to have divine orders walked out. Right? That's what we're doing in here. I can honestly say a lot of churches, just people moving, just sheep moving around. There's a difference between being shepherded and being formed as a military to secure your ID and to preserve freedom and to project power into the place that you're going to go so you can deal with what's there. Right? That's what he's calling us to. By the way, I meant to say this. We have been learning that we're exiting systems. Right, he's given us actions to walk out, and so that we can have the understanding that we're exiting systems. We have to understand that, because where he's quickly taking us is so we can overthrow systems.
Yeah.
Exiting a system and overthrowing a system is two completely different things.
Yeah.
And the literal time it would have literally taken. I lit you up because in expansion, I can. Mom is under an extreme amount of transitional pressure because she is, Yahweh is wanting to unleash her in a manner of overthrowing systems. She's already done it. But this is a different dimension of overthrowing systems, and that's where we're all going. The span of time that it would have taken, the quickest route from leaving Egypt to getting to the Promised Land was 11 days. It could have taken them 11 days to go from exiting systems to overthrowing systems. But there's training that was involved, and that's where we're at. Right? We've been exiting systems, and we're not just exiting systems to be really good at leaving systems. Right? If you're exiting a religious system, it's so you can overturn and displace religious systems.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
For individuals and institutions on a national level.
Yeah.
Right? If you're exiting a health system, you have to exit the existing worldly health system in order to overturn that same system.
Yeah.
He's having us exit systems, not because it's like, see you later, we made it. We made it out. Right? He's calling you out of a place so you can go into a place that's completely different. It's a different dynamic. But I just wanted to put that on public notice. As a family, we're still exiting systems. We're getting to the place to where our lack of sonship is becoming obsolete. And there are people in our family that have overturned systems and are getting called to overturn systems in an institutional way, on a national scale. So before we get into it, I want to provide like a framework of strategy and tactics. It's cool because Yahweh is a strategist, but he's calling us to be tactically sound. He there's like weight to that, right? Like we're not just coming to service on Friday night to get a good word to whatever. This is like a briefing that we are getting ready to move, and you are having to operate tactically with precision to achieve a certain result based on his strategy.
Yeah.
Right? So how do we do that? Strategy, though, is employing command-level direction to determine the end result. Strategy, a lot of people confuse strategy and tactics. Strategy is employing command-level direction to determine the end result. Isn't that Torah?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's literally, the definition of strategy is literally Torah. Commandment-level direction to determine an end result, and then we just have to employ that.
Yeah.
We have to take that direction and execute it.
Yeah.
So he's the chief strategist. It's large scale. For example, when Yahweh says, possess the land, that's strategy. And it requires precision of a tactical nature in order to get it done. Strategy is why, where, and when you fight. Fighting just to fight doesn't, that's your own, that's the illusion of your own strength, right?
Yeah.
Yahweh is the strategist in this case. We are the tactical operative. So what are tactics? Tactical is how we fight. How you fight is the tactical aspect of this whole thing, and that's our responsibility. You're employing methods, maneuvers, and actions to achieve short-term objectives. Right? That's our part. Employing methods, maneuvers, or actions to achieve short-term objectives. If Yahweh says possess the land and then he tells you exactly how to do it, We are the ones that have to engage the method, the maneuver, and the action to achieve the short-term objectives. We cannot stand in a place to expect the strategist to be the tactician. Okay? We are not the husband. We are not the strategist. We are not the one telling Yahweh, I want to possess the land, now you execute. That's what I'm declaring over the family, where it's obsolete to put your frame of mind in a box that works that way, that makes you the strategist, you the husband, requiring him to execute. Small scale execution, employing the means available to you. He's provided everything. He has provided everything for you to execute and achieve short-term objectives with precision. That is a fact. So there is no excuse to say, well, I just can't be precise. Nothing's available to me. I don't have direction. What do I do? He's provided everything. Write this down. Ground level application of skill developed with wisdom.
Say again,
ground level application of skill developed with wisdom. So there's multiple things going on here as we step into what Yahweh is doing in this Torah portion as a family, as a covenant community, and as individuals. There's application, there's skill development, and there's wisdom. Right? Are we feeling this? This is like practical. Like I told Jason, a tactical field guide from heaven. How to operate tactically on earth according to a heavenly mandate on how to overthrow systems. How are you going to get to the place of overthrowing systems? This is how we're going to do it. So we've outgrown a mindset saying, well, I can't do that. I don't have the skills to do that. I don't have the wisdom to do that. I can't apply that in my life. Outdated.
Yeah.
Obsolete.
Yep.
Because this is where we're at.
Yeah.
I don't know any other way to literally get through life. I don't know any other way to get through life than to seek his direction, his command level direction, so that I can latch on to the end result, whether I know what that is or not. I don't know how else to get through life. But I want to be clear. What Yahweh is saying is, I've given you wisdom. I've given you the means to develop your skills over time. Going back to, do we have a second chance? I'll give a second chance to those that have been trying to develop their skills. They've been seeking wisdom, and they've been trying to apply those things, and maybe they don't hit the mark. That's who I'll give a second chance to. Right? We've passed a threshold where things are obsolete. We can no longer say, I cannot apply the things that he is dispensing in my life. We have to move as a family in a way that Shabbat divine time. We're not looking at Friday nights as Kairos worldly time anymore. This is a divine window of time that's supernatural, that I'm receiving command level direction so that I can be aligned with the end result on the proper trajectory, and then I can begin to execute precisely what it is that he tells me to do. Because we've entered into a divine time where we're receiving those things. And it's literally a lifeline. Like every time we study a Torah portion, we're approaching it from the manner of, if we don't grab a hold of this lifeline and this divine window that you're opening up, and we don't take this opportunity to develop our skills accompanied by your wisdom, because we're operating in divine time, the family will not move forward according to your purpose. It's not going to happen. We don't have the luxury to just, well, I'm going to put together a quick sermon because I ran out of time, and, you know, whatever, we'll throw some stuff out there. We'll make it sound, you know, good. We'll add some fluff in there, just because I didn't have time, and, you know, we'll get through Friday because I'm operating in Kairos time. Every time we study, it's the family's life is on the line. Receive it that way. Because we're not the only ones responsible for this covenant community. Yeah. Every single one in here is. Which is why it's so frustrating when... Never mind. Ground level application, skill development, and wisdom. That is a requirement in order to be tactically precise. It's funny, we all say we want to like operate in the spiritual realm, right? A lot of people say that. You can find all kinds of YouTube videos. You can, you know, people can tout their spiritual resume of all these things they've done in the spirit, and, you know, all of these things and all these angels they've seen and all of this stuff. Meanwhile, they're not applying on a ground level skills they've developed, accompanied by wisdom, to move tactically. Like, I don't know, and I'm not. Maybe that comes across like a knock on people that are gifted that way, but I'm to a certain extent. Our family does not need to be concerned with all of that. Because what we need to be concerned with is obsolete ways of thinking that are no longer going to work. Because we're crossing into a place where he expects ground level application with wisdom, with skill development. Is this... Like, I feel like as a dad, I'm like, poking you guys in the chest. I'm trying to provoke, like, you know, when I get on the mats with Jalen and Sean, I beat them up. I'm not like, oh, you're my son, let me, no. I want to be so hard on them, nobody else can be harder on them. Yeah. Operating in the spirit in a tactical way means you're guided by divine order. There's elements like discernment, timing, and obedience. Now think about that as compared to the illusion of individual strength. Your individual strength can only take you so far. And that whatever that destination is like far. That's that's why it's an illusion, right? Because you may think, like, no, I can still deny these things or certain aspects of what Yahweh is trying to do, and I will get to this place on my own. That's part of the illusion. You're not getting, you may think like, no, this can carry me a little bit further. That's part of the illusion.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's dangerous because you're not operating out of discernment, timing, and obedience. This is a huge one. Covenant objectives are the focus, not individual survival or personal goals. Covenant objectives are the focus, not individual survival or spiritual goals. That's what it means to tactically execute the strategy that Yahweh gives us. We have to be of the mind that there is a community, covenant community objective. right? The trajectory and the objectives that Yahweh is giving his chosen people is one of covenant and community. It's not about individuals. It's not about individual survival or personal goals. Think about literal war and tactics and combat units. Those, what's trained out of those people by the time they hit the field, what's trained out of them is individual survival and personal goals.
That's really good. Yeah.
Because their objectives is a covenant community objective based on command level strategy. They're not even operating out of their own, their delegated authority on that field. It's trained out of them. I remember being in the academy and people would do things like take a break to go get a drink of water, or when the whole class is doing push-ups, or this is absolutely stupid, but it totally makes sense. The very first or second day, we had pens in our uniform pockets. And the guy did an inspection, and he was going down looking at everybody's pens. And we all had different pens. Because who thinks of that? And he destroyed us. Because he's like, you guys are just a bunch of individuals. You guys think you just... You got... Right? It's like, what? Like, nobody thought of that. Nobody thought of that.
Yeah.
But when they destroyed us, we all went to Office Max together and bought the exact same pens.
Yeah.
Right? And then they lit us up because the little cap wasn't lined up with the writing on the pen. And to this very day, when I pick up a pen, I line it up. But we would go on runs and somebody would fall behind and they would light everyone up. No matter, they could be in the best shape possible, complete their run. And they would let them complete the whole run and they would say, you can do it again because you just left so and so. Right? It's like Remy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not... Those are the type of things that Yahweh is trying to train out of us, and we've crossed a threshold where what's obsolete is individual survival. And what I'm talking about when we can locate ourselves, if any of the things I'm saying is checking a lot of boxes, like, oh shoot.
Yeah, good, yeah.
I've been trying to survive. I've just been trying to survive myself. That is what he's training out. You know what?
Yes, training out innovation. But innovation causes death.
Yeah.
Even to a pen cap. You can't even innovate a pen cap.
That's good.
That was good.
So community objectives is what we're about. Sometimes I think to myself, part of the reason why I believe Kingdom Heirs has been set apart, and I've said this thousands of times, as part of our testimony, or if people inquire, that we, from the outset of our life with Yeshua in Yahweh, we, church was never like a game, or we never had personal aspirations. It just, we never played church. And when I say that, what I mean is there was never any individual gain outside of discipline and maturity. There was never any personal aspirations or goals of like, well, I want to run this ministry, or I would like to aspire to pastor a church, or, you know, I really envy such and such's position and their level of influence and authority or whatever. There was never any of that. Because we're not playing church. It was always about, what is Yahweh saying? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
What are we fighting? What are we following? Not that we always got it right, but we were constantly evaluating or coming back to a place of honest evaluation. What are we fighting? What are we following?
Yeah.
Like, you've all heard my testimony. I had the revelation that I was following Hasatan because I thought he was fathering me.
Yeah.
As soon as that revelation hit, I'm not following that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Done. Outdated.
Absolutely.
Obsolete way of thinking.
Yeah.
Amen. So in Numbers 9 and 10, we have, and really previous to 9 and 10, in the whole book of Numbers, in the wilderness, we have a Torah pattern predicated on the census, the organization and establishment of the military post-liberation, so that Yahweh can preserve freedom, really, really help to institute identity. Okay? Divine guidance and strategy is what we see in this Torah portion. We also see, I mean, hear all this in a military context. Specialization and collaboration, we see faith and obedience in a national context. What's cool about this, and we can tend to look at it a certain way, but the cloud that you see in the very first verses was really timing and intelligence. If you move, movement is not always progress. Movement at the divine time is progress. And when you think of it that way, then you begin to realize that if you're moving outside of divine timing, you're already defeated.
Yeah.
But that's the reality that flies in the face of the illusion.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm just moving. When people come and go, right? It's not about what ministry they're a part of. It's not even about what city they live in. It's any one of you could do anything, and we will be completely supportive behind you when you come and say, this is what Yahweh said, this is what he told me, and then maybe down the road, he says, now. You develop your skills, you're accompanied by wisdom, right? You're moving according to his timing, you know what the command level strategy is, and then he says, now. So you're like, we already know the divine strategy. We're partnering in it. We're in covenant community about it.
Yeah.
And we send you in it because Yahweh said, now I'm going wherever I'm going. Right? But instead we operate under this self illusion of like, well, there's movement. I'm moving based out of my own comfort or whatever. And there's forward progress. And we tell ourselves those lies. So when he matures you beyond lack of sonship, and you begin to operate in confident belief of who you are as a son, you will then shift into this place that Yahweh's calling us into, where you look for and tune yourself into command level strategy and direction. Meaning, the trumpet, as an example, you're tuned in to the sound, the frequency you need to be tuned into. You're watchful for the command level strategy. There's power in being still. If you haven't received command level direction from the strategist, then don't move.
Yep.
That's like sonship 101. You have to seek his direction. Literally, the Torah is his direction laid out. We don't have to go on this like fluffy spiritual journey to, you know, like I've just been on a journey with him to find, like, no, it's right here. Like he lines, he's, there's a command level strategy manual right here in the Torah.
Yeah.
Right? But aside from that, when we go beyond that to movement or formation, divine formation means, because I'm not looking for personal gain or personal comfort, that means I need to be in formation, which means I need to know where he wants me to be. And I can't do that if I don't hear or receive that directive, which means I need to be still. Once you receive that command level strategy, then it's a matter of discernment, wisdom, and timing. Right? You hit, all these elements are built in. But in the meantime, before he tells you to move, he's going to expect you to be developing your skills, walking with wisdom, and executing ground level application of the things that he's directed you previously. Can you guys see the framework that's laid out? And it's like it's such a simple framework. If you don't know where he's moving you next out of formation, then be developing your skills, continuing to execute the things that he's directed you with wisdom leading up to this point. Right? That's why it doesn't. That's why now it's obsolete for somebody to come and say or move on to something in their mind. It's an illusion to move on to something in your mind that you're judging or you're saying that you're being the strategist.
Yeah.
Okay? But let's think about this as I'm saying this, because this is where we get stuck in the illusion. We are the husband. We got there out of a lack of sonship, which means we are assuming the seat of the strategist, expecting Yahweh to execute. We will excuse ourselves from whatever process he presently has us in, operating without precision, without tactics, without having developed our skills, without wisdom. We're not doing any of that. But we'll take the seat as a strategist and say, okay, now I need to go over here and concern myself with this when I haven't even done what he's asked me to do already. Does that answer your question?
Sure.
So you have the cloud, timing and intelligence. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time. It doesn't even say 2 days, a month, a year, right? A longer time, whatever that is. Like I've experienced those. I mean, we've all experienced those longer times. What's your longest longer time? Mine's like
44 years.
Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle abiding there and the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out.
Yeah.
Divine timing is more critical than practical strength. It doesn't, Yahweh could give you the command level strategy. You're developing your skills. You're applying, you're executing, you're seeking wisdom.
Yeah.
But your longer time where the cloud is not moving is 12 years.
Yeah.
It's more beneficial to move when the cloud moves after 12 years than it is to start thinking, I'm the strategist, and I'm going to begin moving out of this illusion of my own strength, and I'm going to go where I think I need to go.
Yeah.
People in this house have to assume that way of thinking. That it is more important to operate out of timing and discernment than it is to have my own personal agenda.
Yes.
That is the DNA of this house.
Yes.
That's the DNA of our ancestors that Yahweh was trying to impart, because he's reaffirming their identity. This is all him imparting identity on the people by training them how to operate. When we talk about those warriors on the battlefield, they have a different identity than they did before they went to boot camp.
Yeah.
So you have the cloud, you have the trumpets. That's a symbol of command and communication. So, and Yahweh makes it so easy. Like, they had a visual... they had a visual confirmation. Do I move or do I stay? And then they had an audible confirmation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That would direct the way they were supposed to move. Right? And I think it's just as simple today. People may say, well, they had it easy. I don't... Can you? I was thinking at, I don't know who I was talking to, but at Tabernacles, I was thinking like, I was talking to somebody in the bathroom in the morning. I was like, can you imagine how much those people stunk? Like, and then the sacrifice of animals, like, it must have been crazy.
But the incense.
Yeah, but like mixed. But they had a visual confirmation, audible confirmation, right? But I believe it's even simpler for us.
Yeah.
We're dealing with the same dynamics, though, where he's trying to mature us beyond those things that I talked about. They have the formation, the directives. They have the hierarchy and the organization in place. And it was a nation mobilized by divine instruction versus just people moving around, like I said.
Yep.
And then on top of that, it was all started and ended with a divine declaration glorifying his name. Yep. All encapsulated, started with an acknowledgement of him and ended with an acknowledgement of him.
Yeah.
Right? You can... I love how he just puts his name at the beginning of the end, because that's why we should all be thinking this way when we're evaluating our own decisions, or we're evaluating or confronting the manner in which others may be walking. Did Yahweh say this? Did he institute this? Did he initiate this? Did he call you to do this? If people are saying what they're doing and they're not putting Yahweh's name on it, they're not following this pattern.
Yeah.
Right? What you should do is easy, not getting into the minute details of your day, but general movement with your life, different periods of your life. It's easy. What is Yahweh telling you?
Yeah.
First of all, what are you fighting and what are you following? Are you following Yahweh? Okay, good. That's the basis right there, right? Now we're in alignment. We're following Yahweh. What is the command level strategy he's giving you in your life? If you don't know the answer to that question, don't move. Right? If the cloud is still there, then don't move. If he gives you the command level strategy and says, okay, now move two steps to the right, move across the country, move across the globe, whatever it is, then you know, and then you can begin implementing your tactics that you've been developing to execute. Right? You guys writing all this down?
Yes.
Expect all of you to be able to fully articulate all of this with detail, because this is how you're going to begin moving through the wilderness phase of your life.
Yeah.
Or whatever wilderness phases that Yahweh has you in.
Yeah.
This is the blueprint. This is part of our identity. The blueprint's in our DNA. He's provided it in our DNA. Now he's exposing it for us to be able to articulate, this is how I operate in the wilderness, because I know what he's doing in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And the cost of me not knowing how to articulate these things and abide by these things is the covenant community is at risk. Because I'm no longer operating for my own personal comfort, agenda, gain, aspirations, whatever.
Yes.
Is everybody good? Excited? Yes. Excited to get the new revelation of how to like navigate certain things, because he's showing us exactly, I believe, what's happening and where we are and how to navigate. Right? He's showing us how to operate with precision.
Yeah.
No longer wandering through what you think he's doing and wondering if you're in the right place or not, or am I being effective, or right? I don't know what I'm doing. What did he tell you? I don't know. What are you doing with the last thing he told you? Stuff got in the way. Kairos time, blah, blah, blah. Obsolete thinking. Yeah. Excuses, excuses, excuses.
Yeah.
Right? He's teaching us how to avoid, how to get out of that, how to mature past that stuff.
Yeah.
So the next thing I want to give you for this divine tactical manual that he's giving us so that we can operate and develop skills is we are getting to such a place of refinement that it's no longer like a believer. You guys remember, we're not just believers, we're disciples. Believers will think there's always this black and white confrontation with the enemy. Right? There's always this looming, vague enemy that is just, he's the reason for my discomfort, or if anything's taken away from me, like it's just the enemy. Right? But where we're at in our discipleship, which is focused on sonship, there's a refinement to the point of being able to distinguish between the types of enemies that we're dealing with. There's certain types of enemies in the wilderness with certain characteristics, which is where we're at. And there's a certain type of training that he has for us, which is what we've been talking about, that applies because we're in the wilderness. There are different types of enemies defined by different characteristics in the promised land. Okay? There's a certain posture we should have in the wilderness and a certain posture in the promised land. And it has to do with the types of enemies in the wilderness and the types of enemies in the promised land. Okay? And I'm saying this because I want us to understand what Yahweh's after in establishing a military that's ready to mobilize in formation.
Yeah.
And what he's after, because we are in the wilderness right now, as opposed to where that's supposed to get us as far as a posture and who we're going to be dealing with in the promised land. So you can see the progression of why he's doing what he's doing and how brilliant of a strategist he is. Right? The posture in the wilderness of the people, and probably most if not all of us can relate, is a defensive posture.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm talking about. We've been called to exit systems. As a family, we've been given the command or the instruction to exit systems. We don't always know necessarily why. So we can understand that our maturity is not necessarily at the place where we even have the why.
Yeah.
We just have wash your hands.
Right.
Learn how to count.
Right.
You need to do this. You need to bring this type of animal, right? We don't necessarily have the maturity to understand why. He's given us the actions and telling us you need to do this in order to exit this system.
Yeah.
But he's bringing us all the way to a place of governance to where we can overturn individual, institutional, national systems, cultural systems. But all the way back to the beginning of being activated as a military to reinforce identity, and to preserve the freedom that we just got, we're in a defensive posture. We're reactionary. We're in survival mode. The ground that we gain is concerning identity, which is which naturally we can see why he's dealing with lack of sonship. Because we're having to learn how to gain ground concerning who we are. Does that make sense? In the grand scheme of things, think about it. If you're just always defensive, reactionary, in survival mode, and you're having to gain ground regarding identity, then what are we really doing? Right? That's not like victory. I mean, it is in a certain sense, but it's not overcoming. It's not pushing all the way through. It's not where he's setting us up to enter into the wilderness as a military formation. And we're defensive, reactionary, we're in survival mode, and the type of enemies that we're dealing with are opportunistic of the weary. Or the isolated. If you're operating in Kairos time, you're going to be weary. If you're operating under the illusion of personal survival or gain or aspiration, you're going to be weary,
yeah.
Right? Because you're operating out of your own strength.
Yeah.
Opportunistic of the isolated. Like, don't isolate yourself, because the types of enemies that we are dealing with currently,
yeah,
are going to look for people who are tired, and they're going to jump on people who are isolated.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
How do you become isolated? And I'm not, answer that question yourself. This type of enemy in the wilderness will block progress.
Yep.
They'll try to block progress. We will be required to go through a specific gate, and they will try to block our entrance through that gate. These, I mean, don't think about them then. Think about us now.
Yeah.
Am I weary? Am I isolated?
Yeah.
Yahweh,
yeah,
is calling us to a place of tactical precision and effectiveness, that we're not operating out of our own strength, out of a lack of sonship, out of the wrong seat, right? You can see all these things are just ineffective. They're going to make you tired. They're going to make you weary. And those are the opportunities for the enemy.
Yeah.
Isolation is the opportunity for the enemy. He's going to try to block progress. This is a big one. Internal uprising. Internal threats. We will fight with ourselves and take ourselves out.
Yeah.
Which is how you end up being isolated a lot of the time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We're going to see a lot of that. Infighting. Internal issues. That's because he's trying to instill sonship. Because we don't have security and confidence in our identity, there's fighting in and of ourselves of who am I, what am I doing, what are these people doing. Remember the census? We're not in competition anymore. There's no competition. There's no expectation of performance. But there is an expectation for you to hear the divine strategist and be in formation when you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That is an expectation.
Yeah.
Right? Performance is not an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Complaint or lack of gratitude. These are all the types of ways, or the enemies, that the characteristics of the enemies, some of them that we're going to deal with in the wilderness. These type of enemies expose immaturity, lack of dependence and discipline, exposes fear, impatience, and disbelief. These are all identity issues. And that's where we're at. So,
exposes fear, disbelief,
impatience. So if we're in a window of divine time right now, and we're implementing all the precepts that he's building upon from before, and you write that down, then as we acknowledge that we are walking through a wilderness phase as a family, as we acknowledge that, we should be then to develop our skills, to be tactically precise, to have discernment, we should be looking for these things. Because that's what Yahweh designed it to expose. So it only makes sense that if this is a list of things that he is designed, among other things, that he's designed the wilderness enemy to expose in us through testing and through failure, then that's skill development, that then I look for these things. These are not things that when they get exposed, I project it on somebody else, I blame somebody else, I point the finger at somebody else, because I'm no longer personally protecting myself. Obsolete. Out of date. Like, we're all going to get exposed. Right? When we're all running and being tested together, and there's a divine strategist who's testing us, who's pushing us, we're all going to fail in some way, shape, or form. And that's where we stick together as a family and we uplift each other. One person fails in the area of lack of dependence on him, then we expose that, we accept it, we acknowledge it publicly, whatever, and we surround each other and we deal with it. Because we know, on the flip side, not to look down upon that person or condescend that person, because your turn to get exposed is coming. Right? None of us are perfect, right? We walk as a covenant community, so any exposure that comes up, we all own it. That's how we should look at it. Whatever exposure comes up in me, like at Tabernacles, when I'm not dealing with my emotion, and Yahweh essentially said, well, you don't trust me. All of you, the way I look at it, all of you own that. Because we're a covenant community. Because we own the exposure. Right? When things have been exposed in our history in Flagstaff, and we're on the face of the covenant community, and we get the criticism, all this stuff's being exposed, it's like, yep, that's our covenant family that Yahweh told us to step into formation with. Okay? Like, are you guys excited about this? It's literally a tactical manual. When the enemy comes at you, you could open it up to like page whatever, like, okay, this is what's getting exposed. This is what I do. This is how I deal with it. Do I have divine strategy? No, I don't. Be still. I do have divine strategy. What's the timing? Is his presence still? Like, you can answer all these questions. Yeah. Boom. I know what I'm doing. That's why it's obsolete. If Yahweh's handing out the manual, you can't be given the manual and then be like, well, I just didn't read it. Right.
Yep.
If I'm issued a rifle and I'm given a manual or a course of instruction on how to operate that rifle, I can't, when it comes time to use the rifle, be like, can you show me how to use this? I didn't read it. I didn't take the time. I didn't develop my skills.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's good stuff right here. Lost track of where I was at. I talked about the posture in the wilderness, right? The enemy in the wilderness. The one of the primary divine strategy objectives is trusting him to fight our battles.
Yeah.
in the wilderness. It's not necessarily us fighting our own battles. It's us trusting the provision and the things that he said he was going to do, the things that he promised, the way that he positioned himself. The battle is trusting as a son that he's going to do what he positioned us to do. He's going to accomplish what he positioned us to accomplish, because it's the authority or the centrality to this whole thing is his presence, and he's going to do it as we obey him. So we're not even fighting the battles right now. He's just saying, form up. Get in this formation. This tribe, go first.
Yeah.
Right? Do this however many times, right? That's what he's pressing the lack of sonship out of us to the point that we would have faith in what he says and obey what he says.
Yeah.
Because we trust that he's going to have the victory. Right? That's the primary objective that he's calling us to position ourselves tactically to partner with him to execute. Okay? So I didn't talk about the promised land enemies, right?
No.
Going back to the wilderness, it's about formation, training, and testing. Now, as a progression looking forward, because I want, it's not a preview, but I want us to see that this is bigger than where we're at right now, which means it's critical that we understand that it's not about individuals anymore, it's about covenant community, because it's critical where he's taking us. We have to get this in order to operate the way he wants us to, where he's taking us. Okay? So now he's training, testing, he's calling us to divine formation. In the promised land, the posture that he will have us in the promised land is offensive. It's about conquest and territory. Right, the wilderness was defensive, reactionary, survival. Gaining ground concerning identity, lack of sonship. The promised land posture that he's developing us into is offensive, it's about conquest, it's territorial, and we gain ground regarding inheritance. Now we're just gaining ground regarding identity. Are you a son? I mean, the primary objective is for us to have an answer. I am a son of Yahweh.
Yeah.
I carry his name.
Yeah.
I'm faithful to Yahweh and I'm obedient to his directives, his divine strategy. I'm a tactical operative of Yahweh, and I'm going to execute, and I'm going to pass through the wilderness, and I'm going to become offensive. Right? Because he wants us to gain dominion. Just like the wilderness was formation, training, and testing, the promised land is going to be about dominion, authority, and governance. We talk about family that governs. That's one of those things where he's like, wash your hands. He's saying to us, we govern, and we have repeated that language, but we are not at the place where we're actually governing. But we will be. That's the progression. We are working through a lack of sonship right now. Collectively.
Yeah.
Right? We're not even at the place of confident sonship to be able to move through the wilderness in proper formation to get to the place where we're taking dominion over things and we're overturning systems, not just leaving them anymore. In the promised land, what time is it? In the promised land, the enemies that you're going to deal with are characterized by fortified systems. We're not even dealing with, it's interesting. In the wilderness, we're not dealing with systems because we in the previous phase leading up to this, we were leaving systems. We left systems. The enemy's not characterized by systems in the wilderness, but in the promised land, we're dealing with fortified systems. We were victim to systems in Egypt. In the promised land, we're going to have dominion over systems. Enemies are characterized by alliances and compound threats. They're entrenched territorial, kingdom and cultural level occupation. Kingdom and cultural level occupation. You're talking about it's almost like the enemy in the wilderness that we're dealing with is like a lightweight, nomadic, opportunistic enemy that's gonna try to take advantage of your weakness. Whereas when we get in the promised land, it's kingdom level, governmental level, cultural level occupation. Entrenched. They own the territory. What does it expose? Lack of order, lack of holiness, lack of ability to sustain and steward the promise that he already gave you. It exposes a lack of order, which is formation, right? Lack of order is by that time, we should be at a place where we're moving in formation, we're tactically precise, right? If you're lacking that, then it leaves you exposed. Holiness, and this is the big one, the ability to sustain and steward the promise. If you've already acquired what it is that he promised you, then it's your job to sustain and steward it. The enemies that you're going to deal with in the promised land are going to test your level of sustainability and your level of stewardship over what he already gave you. In the wilderness, we were trusting him to fight our battles, but we're going to get to a place to where what's being tested is our ability to govern the promise after fighting with him. He's fighting our battles now. We're going to fight with him in the place where we're supposed to be going. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Is this like getting anybody
yeah.
like fired up?
Yeah.
All right. Now let me get into some, as we kind of bring this to a conclusion, I want to get into some kind of principles that we can take away from this. And there's tons of them. I'm going to continue to study this because I feel like I could go for hours of just, there's so many principles in this Torah portion that to be uncovered. What he's imparting, once we understand our role as tacticians, he is giving us the ability to turn skillful development and disciplined action of a divine nature. That posture or that positioning will allow us to take his strategy and turn it into victory. Like it's like a formula. We begin to operate the way that he's calling us to operate. We no longer deal with or entertain those obsolete ways of thinking. That will then turn the strategy he gave us by nature of our position, will turn that strategy into victory. I already said this about prophetic timing. Knowing when to move or stay is more important than just movement by itself. Disobedience to that is defeat. Like if you're moving without prophetic timing, you're just moving. I think that with where he's taking us, it's almost like revelation prior to this understanding. Revelation he's given us as a family, as individuals, has been static. That's the word that I heard. Your revelation up to this point has been static or one-dimensional. Prior to gaining a deeper understanding of how it is that he's called us to operate now. What I see on the flip side moving forward, and there's something about expansion tied to this when I think about expansion, or when I think about where Yahweh is taking the mother of the house, there's some, because we've been saying a word about mobility. Something I heard the phrase mobility of revelation. It's almost like that, you could almost characterize what he's, how the people are moving, because it's mobility and revelation together. It's not static, right? It's not one-dimensional. There's multiple aspects. There's our responsibility and our duty and obligation, discernment, timing, right? Skills development. It's like this multi-dimensional way that we handle revelation, and that is the expectation. Revelation is something that when you receive it, it's alive. Right? It made me think of a picture of, do we receive revelation like they're snacks or something, and we're just eating the revelation as we're laying on the couch?
Yeah.
Right? Revelation is a lifeline. It's not a, it's something to sharpen you as a spiritual tactician that he's calling you to be. Right? Revelation isn't just like a bag of Cheetos and you just get crumbs all over yourself because you're laying on the freaking couch.
Yeah.
We are a family who understands positional discipline. He expects us to maintain order and formation under pressure. In the midst of chaos. In the midst of all your personal aspirations, in the midst of your desires, in the midst of criticism and mockery and being spit in the face and being made fun of, and you know, it makes me think of our young kids at school. But in a sense, these younger ones have more positional discipline than we do. This is a big one. Decisiveness in intercession. Dealing with strongholds through obedience. So along with positioning, timing, discernment, skills development, right? Yahweh may command you. He may give you a divine strategy to be an implement of intercession, which means you're supposed to change an outcome of something by the way that you position yourself. And you, when you receive that command level strategy, you have to be decisive in that, so that out of your obedience, you can deal with whatever stronghold that is, or whatever outcome that is that he's calling you to change. So as an example, if divine strategy, right, and because we're covenant community, there's been times where somebody says, right, in the position of safeguards and intercessors, let's say the Ubetas say, we really are feeling strong that the entire covenant community needs to fast for A, B, and C. Right? Then as a family, we need to, being minded of formation, step into alignment with that, be decisive, and step into formation in alignment with that. right? That would be an example of that, because we don't necessarily know, or maybe we do know, what it is that we are addressing when we do that. Because we're decisive. We're not like, I mean, you can see how deep this goes. Let's say Amber tomorrow says, for the month of November, the whole family needs to fast and we're only drinking water. How many of us would start going back to outdated systems of, well, I'm a little sick right now, so I'm going to go ahead and pass on the fast. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes if we're out of balance as a family, right? Formation is something that safeguards the family being out of balance, where a small number are carrying an immense burden and other people don't have to necessarily carry the same burden. And it's super subtle. Think about the enemy in the wilderness. Well, I'm just too tired. I just got over having the flu and I can't fast because I need to be eating to recover. Right? At what point, who cares? Like, we need to get to a place to where this is the divine strategy, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yahweh could tell you that. Take everybody else out of it. He could tell you. Yahweh could have been, and I'm not saying this because of any specific person, but Yahweh he could have been telling you directives. You should fast. Maybe you should fast. Maybe you should fast. And you just keep, I don't think. No, stop. Just do whatever it is he's telling you to do. Do that. Don't operate out of a personal agenda to where you're the strategist and you're, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's at stake. Now we are starting to have verbiage and a framework and constructive language that we can articulate to where there is really no excuse for some of the things that, or some of the ways we've been operating.
Yeah.
Because this is what Yahweh is doing. Alignment by divine signal. Sensitivity to the command signals. We have to be... This is a skill we have to develop. We have a luxury in this house that we've been afforded where there are many counselors and many advisors. Any of us could go to any number of us to be consulted on spiritual things or have accountability or... make sure we're walking in accountability, but that luxury has been, I don't want to say abused, but it's been taken, it's been consumed or taken advantage of to the point that we are not being responsible to our position. Meaning, in order for me to stand in my position to be part of the assembly as the formation that he's calling us to be accountable to that position, I have to be tactically sharp. There is going to be a time in your life where you can't consult anyone and everyone, even though there's people around you that could consult you. But it can become an excuse for us to not develop our skills, seek wisdom, and apply those things on the ground for your life.
Yeah.
Well, what do I do now? Well, I don't know. I didn't. Did you accomplish what it is Yahweh told you 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Can you say, I stood in formation, I applied, I sharpened, I accomplished the short-term objective because I'm tactically sharp?
Yeah.
Did you accomplish that confidently as a son? No. What are we doing then? The family's at stake. It's like we're running together and people are slowly lagging behind. Mm-hmm. And as a whole family, because we operate in covenant community, we have to stay cohesive. That is what's at stake.
Yeah.
When we're not dealing with the things that Yahweh's asking us to deal with, whether that's Yahweh told you, or whether that's somebody in authority set in the structure of this covenant community directed you, right? If we're not dealing with those things, we need to be dealing with those things. We can't, I don't know how else to... It's getting to a point, I can feel it in and of myself. It's getting to a point to where it's almost like I wish I had the means to take people and drop them in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the dark, in chaos, and you are going to hone your tactical skills on his voice alone, and don't come back until it's until you've honed your skills. Because we have such a luxury in this family of surrounding each other, helping each other, having advisors, having counselors. Yeah. And I'm not saying to ignore that or neglect that, because that's how we're going to wage war. But as individual pieces of the greater assembly, we all have to be sharp.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not the only one. We're not the only nation. We're only one part of the tribe.
Right.
There's many that need to be sold.
Yahweh didn't. He is corporately calling us to exit systems, but each and every one of us, as an individual, has a unique set of circumstances that he's calling us to exit. Right. So in the same way, why would he not call each and every individual to walk this way?
What did you say? Sensitivity to what? Man.
Yeah. The trumpet. It's like if you're being called to attention, if a command's being given, if it's like we talked about in the most basic of ways with our children, you yell at your child to stop because wherever they're running, they're going to get hurt. So you yell stop, and you try to train your children in a way that they are in tune to your voice in the midst of a bunch of noise, and they don't know what's happening, but I heard Dad say stop, so I stopped.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Obedience is readiness.
Mm-hmm.
Being obedient is what is going to make you ready. If you're like, well, I'm just not ready.
Yeah.
That's because you're not listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Well. Movement is not progress unless it's driven by his presence. We have to discern where his presence is at and where it's not. Did you guys realize Yahweh was like a field general, strategy, tactics? You guys didn't know you're like tactical operatives, did you? Alignment before movement. One of the biggest things that we can learn is to be still when we don't have a command, right? No command has been given, then you can be utterly still.
Be still doesn't mean not sharp your tactics.
Right. Being still is a state of readiness. That's cool because we're already doing some of these things have already been implemented. You want to have people that are watching for signals. They're prepared to hear signals, right? I would say that's the elders in general, but more specifically Amber and Jason, when we talked about them being guardrails or protecting our trajectory and where we're going, they are also prophetic watchmen that have tuned their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes to be able to keep us on course and make sure that we're staying on the narrow road and we're on the battlefield moving how we're supposed to move.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's easy to see how Yahweh is the one that is fighting our battles, but there's a practical partnership and a practical application that we have to be obedient to help achieve that. Right? He does integrate, he does combine human wisdom. And I think one of the coolest things about this Torah portion is he has a guy who knows the terrain that he sends out as a forward observer to gain more intelligence about the terrain, about the enemy, and then comes and reports back to him. So they have this element of human intelligence out of that person's specific role that helps them achieve what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Right? I would say, and it's kind of cool to think of the family in this manner, but there are people in the family who, right, like myself personally, there's things that Yahweh will give a guidepost or something that's in a place of forward observation to come back and direct the way we're going to move now. Right? COVID is a great example. Ruach gave the benefit of forward observation so that we could set our family on a course to navigate the entire COVID nonsense, which was absolutely an attack, right? False crown, all that stuff. Forward observation.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just it all starts with his name and it ends with his name. Is our tactical operation, is it under his authority? Was it given by his authority? Right? Did we complete it and acknowledge his authority? And so I want, as we consider the book of Numbers and the wilderness, I want us to be supremely aware of what it is Yahweh expects of this family, what it is that we're going through, the enemies that we're dealing with and their characteristics, what it is that is designed to expose in us, how we're supposed to operate according to that, the mindsets we're supposed to have, the things that are absolutely obsolete to this family, that are no longer valid. Even if we continue operating in those things, they're no longer valid. I'm just going to hear it like, wah, 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 wah. If somebody's saying those, talking out of those places, it's just noise. And that's a press for every single one of us to identify. I'm not condescending that certain people are doing that. Yahweh has designed this time to expose those very things for us to deal with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is exciting to me because it's almost like he's forming an army. He's rallying the troops. He's giving a greater sense of identity. He's giving more grace in the way that he provides everything, but there's more expectation because we are the ones that have to execute his strategy. And we're all dependent on each other. We all own each other's exposure. We all own each other's victories, right? That's how we operate in this house. And there's just certain, if we can get past the obsolete ways of thinking that the enemy wants to just keep alive in us, if we can get past that, we're going to be unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. And we're on course. We're on track to no longer exit systems. That's base level, that's rookie level, that's child level operation. That's white belt level operation.
Okay.
He's calling us to a place to overturn systems individually, institutionally, nationally, culturally, on all of those levels. Right? We're not even exiting systems will be a thing of the past. We will no longer need to exit any systems ever. Right? That's where he's calling us to. Amen? I would encourage you to go back through the Torah portion and dig, because there are so many principles in there, it's insane.
You guys fired up? It's pretty exciting stuff. I feel like I've just been like in a strategy tent. Yeah, mission briefing. Like the mission at hand of what we're called to execute as sons and daughters. I had this whole scenario situation in my head that my imagination kind of gets excited. But I was having a moment of like seeing the bigger picture of what we're doing in life. And like from the beginning of like Kingdom Heirs to like now, and just following the story, it's just so cool. You know, I'm just excited about it. It's just really exciting to see that we're on to something, you guys. This isn't just like the old just doing church. Like we have an objective and there is a purpose that we have. And I'm honestly excited about it. Yeah. I had a revelation while Dad was talking of like all we're doing is there's a discrepancy between Yahweh's character and mine. And mine doesn't align with his. And that's all we're doing is working that out. It's a simple thing. So when we talk about lack of sonship or, you know, motives, what is our motives? Like, our motive is just different than Yahweh's. And we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to make it, like, we don't have to be, like, avoiding it. Like, if our heart is to be a son, then we should want to address the lack of sonship. We should want to address the lack in our character that doesn't reconcile with his.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost simple. Like, I feel like I've made it really complicated. Dad, you're talking about covenant community objectives. That was really cool. And I'm thinking, well, how does, like, what would that look like in finances? Like, our families together, our finances aligned with purpose and vision for covenant community objectives. This is crazy. Which is important. I mean, we talked about motives. I don't know if we ever questioned the motives of our financial decisions. I know I don't sometimes. And so I think we should look at it. Yahweh's touching everything else. He's touching every other motive, right? Finances aren't separated. Let's look at our finances. And it's crazy because the root, we have some root beliefs of our finances. And we will have ulterior motives with our finances, which is funny. You know, one for me is, you know, walking out of a sugar addiction. You know, my motive is let's have a family movie night. We'll get some ice cream, some snacks, some candy, and we'll have fun. My motive is to spend quality time with my kids. But is there an ulterior motive there? And I'm pouring finances into that? You know what I mean? Let's go on a family vacation. We need it. But really, do I just want to escape my life and all my responsibilities and not have to carry anything? It sounds good on the outside, but what's the motive behind the decision to spend all our finances on a family vacation? Credit card. I want to build my credit. Do you, or do you just have a problem with spending? Like, there's so many scenarios that we can, like, go through of finding decisions that we've made with our finances or making with our finances, but are we truly digging deep to the root of the motive of our budgets and what we're doing. And do those, have we even gone the distance to even think, I know I haven't, I've even gone the distance to even think about a covenant community objective with my finances. And if he's training individual survival out of me, what the heck is that going to look like in my finances? Anyways, I would encourage you to look at your budgets and your spending and see if there are some hidden motives there that we aren't wanting to look at, and see if that aligns with Yahweh's character and if there's a discrepancy between his character and mine.
All right, you guys. I feel like the weightiness of this word is just moving some things around in our hearts. And I don't want to move on before we have a chance to just... I just want to give us a chance to be able to respond. Dad started tonight by saying, identify where you're at, and he's going to push us to where we need to be. So let's just take, it doesn't have to be a long time, but just a few minutes to just begin to allow yourself to truly identify where you are in the things that he brought up, or in the things that the examples he gave, the where Yahweh wants us to be. I just feel the just the intensity of this word as a father bringing such strategy and such direction that I just don't want to miss. I don't want to miss a chance to dive into that. It feels weighty in here, and it feels like we are stirring in the word. And so I just thought, let's just take, just a few minutes to respond, to begin the process of responding and letting those things come to the surface that are like right, that were when Dad said, like, he's like poking your chest, like let that poke hit the things that are in our heart. So that's okay. Let's just take a few minutes and let him just start that process. Such a blessing that we get to be a covenant community. To endeavor to like be so interconnected and about the purpose of our community and not be wandering alone is like the very answer to our heart's cry. Dad, we're just so thankful that when you study, that you study in a way that the family's life is on the line. That there's like that you and Mom literally have like such a like value is institutionalized in our community by that very fact, and that you don't just like throw a sermon together, or you don't just are not casual, but to press in like you do and to afford us such wisdom and insight to give direction to our lives and purpose to our family. Is just, there's just not the right words to describe how fortunate that we have that. So as we're meditating on this word, let's just respond in receiving it that way by continuing to allow Yahweh to address the areas in us that are filled with an illusion, that have selfish impulses, anything that contradicts that Yahweh has given us everything, and that we would just be vigilant and be like bulldogs over our minds. And the like purity of even down to our thoughts and down to the where we're weary or where we're isolated, that we would just be on high alert, that we would do this word justice by how we walk it out and how we apply. That we would just let the revelation like be alive and let him hold us accountable for our position.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.